Hello, this is Anil Kumar from Back to the Bible radio broadcast. On today's program, we continue our series with Dr. Neufeld entitled Skillful Living. Studying the subject of wisdom, focusing on Proverbs chapter 3 verses 1 to 12. Let us read Proverbs chapter 3 verses 1 to 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of the days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. We will examine the theme of counting on God. So let's go back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld.
Good success means we find favor with God and man. We find that we're at peace with God and man. Our relationships are whole, not broken. If you act lovingly, all your relationships will prosper. When? In due season. Now the third command and the promise, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Now listen to the promise, and He will make your path straight. Let's begin by concentrating on the reward. To make straight paths means that obstacles will be removed. If God makes your path straight, He will go before you in the path of life. He will remove things that could and would make you stumble, things that would harm you. Many unforeseen difficulties will be removed from your path long before you even get there. You won't even know that they were there. God will already have gone there before you. I wonder how many harmful things there might have been, things we have been unaware of, but things that God in grace and mercy has saved us from. Diseases, financial harm, accidents, people who wanted to harm us. And we weren't even aware that these things never showed up because God made our paths straight. Do you want that? Sure you do. How can you get that? The answer is that we must trust in Him with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. The passage doesn't mean that we never use our intellect. Of course we do. The entire book of Proverbs teaches us how to make reasonable decisions that lead to long-term good consequences. See, not relying on our understanding means we don't rely on our ways of thinking that are not God-centered. We allow God to dictate how we think about things like sex and money and work and marriage, relationships, leisure activities, even future choices. Let God direct your thinking and He will make your path straight. Now to the fourth command and promise found in verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Again, the pattern continues. First the command and then the reward. So here's the command. Get humble. Get humble. Get humble. Don't think of yourself as if wisdom resides in you. It doesn't. And by nature, you're a sinner and an arrogant fool. Acknowledge that and get humble. You know, I was listening to a secular talk program on the radio the other day, and a man called in castigating religious people, he said, who think they need to go to the divine for advice. What's wrong, he asked, with just good old-fashioned common sense? Now, I'm not opposed to common sense, but here in Proverbs, the issue is not common sense, it's pride. Pride clouds all of our judgment. Furthermore, pride forbids me from acknowledging that there is so much that I don't know, and that there's absolutely nothing that God doesn't know. And the promise, if you're humble, is that it will be health to you. You know, I wonder how many diseases are due to stress and anger and anxiety and worry and frustration and bitterness and lack of purpose and a lack of joy. See, once you bow your head before God and surrender to His will, Proverbs seems to say that true humility removes diseases. You know, I think that the diseases spoken of here truly refer to the emotional ones, one that you'll never get because you rely on God. See, are you getting convinced that the ice is thick? Can you race forward with confidence in God? Well, let's test that, shall we? Up till now, this passage has been, you know, somewhat theoretical, but now it takes all the principles that we've learned and makes them practical. You know, this next passage that we're about to read is not the only way. There are many that test whether we're crawling forward cautiously on the ice or we're driving with our 4x4s in great confidence, saying with joy, I'm counting on God. And so fifth, first fruit giving brings financial wealth. Look at verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So here we go again. First a command, then a promise. And here's the command. Honor God with your money by committing the first fruit to Him. Now, a first fruit is not just the best that we have. It's the thing you get first. In Exodus 22, verses 29 to 30, it included the first of the harvest, the first of the cattle, even the first of your children, which you would redeem with money. From this principle came the principle of tithing. And then according to verse 10, your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats bursting with wine. In other words, you will have more than enough. Now, I know that this verse has been misused by those false teachers that promise that if you send them your money, you're going to end up rich. But try to remember the eternal perspective. Honor God with the first fruit of your wealth, and your barns will overflow. When? In due season. In the light of the resurrection. Furthermore, a healthy practice of first fruit giving, rather than giving as an afterthought, focuses our attention on God who provides richly for His children in the here and now. Now to the last promise and the reward. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves those whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. And by the way, if you want evidence that Proverbs is not giving you a health and wealth gospel on this earth, this passage provides the antidote. Let's remember this passage in the context of all the rest. We have been told that if we delight in wisdom, we'll have a long and contented life. If we commit to love in truth, we will be held in high esteem with God and man. If we trust God completely, He will remove life's obstacles. If we learn humility, we will avoid many of life's physical and emotional diseases. If we practice first fruit giving, we will gain financial wealth. And now we learn that God will correct and discipline us. And the command is that we should not despise this, but welcome God's correction in our lives. And the promise? Well, here the promise is not directly stated, but it is implied. The Father delights in you and has made you the object of His eternal delight. You know, when I was 13 years old and I was in grade 8, I moved into high school and I had an English teacher whom I believed was the coolest man that had ever been created. We never had exams in his class. He never provided us with homework. Indeed, he replaced all our desks with couches and we would sit and interact with each other. I know you guessed it. I was raised in the late 1960s, and I remember when marks were handed out, my teacher asked me what kind of mark I wanted, and he gave me the mark I wanted. I loved that class until the day it was announced he'd been fired. Well, the entire school had a riot. That riot was eventually quelled, and the next week we were all back at school. I remember walking into my English class. The couches had vanished into thin air and the desks had made a comeback. Our new teacher stood at the front of the class and he didn't smile. His demeanor shocked the whole class, and his body language and the way he handled himself told us all that this was not a man to be trifled with. He informed us that first day that we had wasted half a year and that we are going to learn a full year's English requirements in the next half year, and anyone unwilling to accept his rules would be thrown out of the school. Then he told us to open our books and begin to write, and we did. And before that year ended, I came to love Mr. L. Berry. I found out that his stern, demanding, disciplinarian face had a loving heart, and I flourished and I grew under his tutelage. See, God is not unloving, but he deliberately introduces hardship into our lives in order to correct us so that all other things he promises us will in the end come true in the light of eternity. God will not have unwise children. And here is the vast frozen lake of God's promises. We can count on him. Wisdom may take time, and wisdom will demand that we develop a palate for it. But undergirding all the commands of wisdom are the promises of God which cannot fail. Years, health, success, straight paths, refreshment for our tired bones, and a barn full of produce, and a father who delights in his children.
If you want to discover what the pursuit of wisdom means in every part of our lives, then this passage in Proverbs 3 is a great start. Getting wisdom doesn't necessarily promise us health and wealth, but God does promise that we will lead long and fulfilling lives in good times and even in the bad. In fact, as Dr. Neufeld has pointed out, we must see the Proverbs as God's commands and his promises to guide us throughout every stage of life. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. Back to the Bible is pleased to present our Bible calendar, now available as a free gift to our listeners. The Bible reading calendar has historically been a wonderful resource for spiritual encouragement, but the calendar's primary goal is to guide you through the reading of the Bible in 1 year using Dr. Neufeld's unique Bible reading plan. So ask for your free copy today by calling 9492440070, that is 9492440070, or send a request by email at info@backtothebible.in.